plate a potential nugget.
For leaders that are at the cusp of making a transition, who are deciding between choices, what's been your experience in understanding the value systems of your destination? You know, whether it's the organization or the leader. Any reflections on that to minimize post-purchase dissonance, if you will?
Yes, exactly. No, it's true. By the way, I think it's so much the values of the who, not of the company, because at the leadership level, and I know a lot of your audience is leaders, right? So
yes,
you're totally competent. Like, no leader fails because they don't have the competency to do the job. It's often culture fit, and also culture fit with the rest of the leadership, even more than the company, right? The people you're going to battle with every day are, you know, the CEO, the other leadership team members on whom you're intrinsically dependent. So I often say, when I think about where I've succeeded, it has been the values overlap with the leader who, here's what I look for. I look for skills that are diverse from my own. I fundamentally believe that you win when 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But when you look for values that are congruent, there's a bunch of ways to discern them. Number one, ask them what their values are. Just be like, what are your top three values? You know, it's amazing what people reveal about themselves when you just ask them. Number two, ask the people who work with them. I always say, when I'm asking people who work with them, you know, and I try and say the respectful way, I'm like, you know, when you think about what are your best interactions with this person, and then like, if I'm going to work with the CEO, I might say like, hey, what are the things you're going to do that are going to drive me crazy? And I'm like, I expect you to ask me the same question. So sometimes I want to tease out from all the people who work with someone, like, you know, where do you get energy from? What drains your energy in those interactions? Back channels, I definitely do. I just want to understand, like, you know, what are this person's strengths and development areas? And then, of course, today we live in a world where, honestly, so much information on how people participate is public. Reputations are small. If a leader has burned bridges a dozen different ways to Sunday, it is easily discoverable. I mean, we live in a world that's so small, if you're a leader, you can get on LinkedIn and find five people who know the person you're talking to. And quite frankly, at least two or three who've worked with them. You know, if it's not 1 degree, it's 2 degrees. And you really want to understand. So obviously the telltale signs of better leaders, yes, a healthy organization, whose values you admire. You know, company values are often a reflection of a leader. That's true. The talent they've been able to attract, you know, and retain. That's another, good indication. But like I said, sometimes there's no substitute for asking directly, and then the observed behaviors and their reputations. But I think you have to go into any equation knowing what your values are. Does that make sense? And I think I've learned some very painful lessons in what my values are in hindsight.
Nandan Nilekani, one of the co-founders of Infosys, has an interesting take on this in the context of co-founder selection. He speaks about aligning on the timelines for which leaders are able to postpone gratification.
First is that you must share common vision. You must share a common value system. You must share a common desire to postpone your gratification for another day. Because building companies, especially building companies to last, is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Right.
So if your partners are short-term oriented, your partners want quick rewards, if your partners have ethical issues, it doesn't work.
The time frames need to...
Everybody should say, okay, we're willing to defer reward for a decade. And that's a big ask. So I think the big lesson in Infosys was that, and Murthy had done a great job in assembling the people, the fact that all of us were united in a common vision to create a global company. All of us were united that you're going to do a very ethically run company with clear standards of ethics and corporate governance, and that we are willing to defer gratification for decades if required. That was the binding glue, and the fact that we put the vision above any of us. So I think getting the right founders is very important from a vision, values, time frame of gratification point of view.
It's a very nuanced point that Nandan makes here. How we think about postponement of gratification often depends on spousal preferences, stage of life, kids' education, parental context, and several other elements that might drive our financial trade-offs in life. Aligning on this explicitly, or discerning or looking for it explicitly, in addition to the things that Sukhinder speaks about, might be a good idea as leaders come together in the context of a startup.